Welcome back to Highlands. Postcards from the finish line here at the Boston Marathon. Stop your cramp, not your race. Also brought to you by Polar, where you chase your destiny. With us, Lisa Bentley, 11-time Ironman champion, 2006, third in Kona, and one of our favorite people on the planet. How you doing, Lise?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. You want to get that guy a little closer because we got a lot of background noise.
Okay, so, sounds good.
Lise, you are running Boston. Is this, have you done this one before?
I've done it 3 times before.
Yes.
Never when I was a professional triathlete, though. It was right. Always a retirement thing for right. me. And so I had an opportunity to race this year. So I thought, let's give it a go.
I love it. What is it about this course that you like?
It's the city.
It is, right?
The city. Yeah. I love this town. I love the people. I love the energy of the town. I love the course. I like the downhill. There's no question about that. I like the difficulty of Heartbreak Hill. I love the finish line. But, you know, I just really think I love being in Boston and being surrounded by like-minded people. It's a privilege and an honor to get to race here.
Now, are you here with a group, by yourself? Who are you hanging with?
I am here with my husband, Dave, and we always make it a great weekend. Years ago, the first time I came with a sponsor just to watch the event. And I thought, I want to do that one day. And then when I retired from professional triathlon, I had the opportunity to do my first one in 2011. And it hurt way more than any Ironman ever hurt.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How fast did you go?
Well, my first year, I wasn't really well trained. I think I ran under 3 hours, but not super fast. I think I ran 2:58, which was my Ironman marathon time, actually.
Yes.
Then I've run my fastest one was 2:47 here in 2014.
Wow.
That hurt a lot as well. There's something that happens at mile 20.
It's just different, right?
It's just different. And I said to my husband, well, it's like my toes get braided up and my calves start twinkling and it gets so hard. But it's worth it in a sense, like to be here. I don't think I'd be able to come to Boston without right. doing this run.
So 20 years old, you get diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And at that point, were you a professional triathlete already or just moving into it? Where were you at that stage of your life?
I was at university and I was just starting to do triathlon. Uh-huh. So I was an age group athlete. But I was 20 and I was indestructible. So
of
it was
course.
Like, oh yeah, whatever. And I didn't really think much about it. So I just had to go on antibiotics more often, but I was relatively healthy, and like I said, you know, 20 years old, you can do anything. So it didn't change my life at all.
And so moved into the professional ranks, raced as a pro for a lot of years, won 11 titles. When you look at your career, and two New Zealand, 5 Australia, 5, 3 Canada. Do you have a favorite when you look back at your big... And sometimes people will say, it's not so much the wins, it was this race that meant the most to me. What race meant the most to you?
Kona was always the difficult one. It was the one that escaped me. The nutrition plan that won Ironman Australia for me didn't work in Hawaii. There was always something come up in Hawaii. That was the difficult one. So that's probably the one. When it goes smoothly, it doesn't seem to mean as much. It always does. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Every Ironman win was huge. To be able to put yourself in a position to win and then actually win is a huge deal. I loved Australia. I felt part of that community every time I raced in Australia.
Right.
I loved Canada because it was home. Hawaii, though, I love the island. I love the heat. I love the warmth. I love the complexity. I love that the best person wins.
And what's great about it, people talk about the heat and the wind, but really what makes Kona, Kona is the competition. Right. Nobody is going, I'm racing through this. This isn't really my A race. Everybody is there frothing at the bit to win that race. And you know that there's 20 women thinking they're going to be racing for the win in the last 10K.
There's no question. And I think that's part of the reason why it is so difficult, even nutritionally. Like my nutrition plan in Australia didn't work in Hawaii for so many reasons. I think the effort in Hawaii is higher. Of course, you've got the heat. But
right.
I also think there's that anxiety issue. That burns calories. Like you're burning calories while you're thinking about your competition.
Somebody's making a move, I got to be ready. You can't just go steady state. You've got to react.
That's
you're
right.
racing.
And when you react, you burn matches. And you're burning, even if it's 50 more calories. Like you think about, if you're off your game by 1%, that's 5 minutes. That's a victory. That's podium. That's no podium. And so that's what I love about Kona. And, you know, I did have some health issues there a couple of times, so I never was able to be at my best.
Right.
2006, even though it was my best year coming in third, still wasn't my best. I still had those 8-minute miles in there, and they should never have been in there. I should have been able to tick off the 7-minute miles, that whole thing. And it just never happened. I'd love to have another go at it, but only if I was as fit as I was in 2006.
So when did it get to the point where the cystic fibrosis affected you, where you'd go into a race and not know, is my health going to be okay or not?
Every lead up to a race, I was testing for the sore throat, how I would feel. There were several Ironmans I had to race while on antibiotics. That was always difficult. Antibiotics
yeah.
really dull your game anyway, but then the antibiotics I went on actually caused Achilles tendon rupture, which of course led to me ultimately having Achilles surgery.
And there's not much, you have to take the medication.
Have to take it. And there was actually a year where I said, I don't want to take the medicine all the time. I want to try to fight it. And that was actually the year 2009, when I kept getting sicker and sicker, and my lung function went from 100% to 56%.
56%, and you're it's not like you're going out and running an age group race. You're racing against the best people in the world.
And that was a tough year. And I mean, think about 56%. 50% is one lung.
Right.
So that was when I ended up retiring for many reasons. I was 40. And there were other things I wanted to do.
Sure.
So it wasn't a terrible time. It was actually fine. But my last race was Subaru Ironman 70.3 Muskoka, and I was coughing up blood in that race. And of course, a lot of people would say, why did you race? You weren't well enough. But that's what I always, I look back on it and I say to myself that I have cystic fibrosis. It's who I am. And I always tell people to embrace your deck of cards.
Whatever you got to deal with, you're dealing with.
And that was what I had to deal with. And so it would be a disservice if I didn't do the best I could with my deck of cards.
Right.
Now, certainly, I knew I wasn't putting my health in danger. I could modify pace. Hey, I could only go as fast as I could with the lung capacity that I had.
Right.
But, you know, I always say you do the best you can with your deck of cards. If it's a bee sting, if it's a sunburn, if it's cramping, you do the best you can. So that's why I did that last race, and I'm glad I did it. And I finished the race, and I did the best I could, and then
you could walk away.
I walked away and went to the hospital and went on intravenous.
Did you really?
A few months later, they tried
They
tried a few other courses of medicine.
Yes.
So my last race was September 2009, and I was admitted to hospital in January 2010, and was on antibiotics for 5 weeks.
So what is the lung function now?
I'm probably around 80 to 85%. I seem to hover around there.
Yeah.
I had a collapsed lung last summer, so that kind of took a bit
of a sting
off. I
like how you sort of like casual. I had a collapsed lung last summer. Yeah.
Well, it came on pretty quick. A week prior to the diagnosis, my lungs in x-ray were completely clear. And then a week later, I was having trouble breathing and some pain down my arm, and it lasted a couple of days, and I thought I better go get an x-ray, and sure enough, it came back that it was a collapsed lung. So about a week later, they went in and tried to get rid of the mucus that was
yes.
blocking it. And that was a horrific procedure.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, it came out, and literally it just reinflates.
Boom.
And back to normal.
So once you retired, what did you want to do? Did you want to get into coaching? Did you want to get into motivational speaking? What was the next path for Lisa Bentley?
Well, I wanted to do everything,
of course.
Of
course you did, yes.
I love motivational speaking, so I'm doing more and more of that. I was fortunate I got to speak at the Titan Summit in Switzerland last year, which was extraordinary, with Robin Sharma. So I hope to do more speaking. I love coaching, so I am coaching. I'm doing some representation work for some professional athletes, so I love that.
Oh, nice. What athletes?
I work with Alicia Kay and Brett McMahon, Jared Shoemaker, and Magali Tissier. So I've got a nice little crowd.
You have a great group. Wow. And a few Canadians in there.
So I love that, because I did my own sponsorship when I was an athlete. So for me, it's so normal to be looking and saying, hey, that's a great fit.
Right.
And I can't get away from that. And I did that with Ironman Corporation for 3 years as well. I don't do it anymore, but
yes.
I did. So I love the representation work. I love the coaching, of course.
Right.
I love the speaking. And I was supposed to write a book. I plotted out that I was going to write a book from January to February.
Yes.
Because it would only take 2 months, of course.
Of course, books are easy. Yeah, it's not a problem. Yeah.
All I've done is the table of contents, so I'm a little behind. But I desperately want to write a book, as I have a lot to share. And I mean, really, I just love life, and I love being busy. And of course, every now and then, it kind of sneaks up on me, and I have a breakdown, and that lasts about an hour, and then I'm okay again. But I love life.
You also, your era, you had some amazing competitors.
I did.
Were there a couple of athletes who you battled over and over and over against?
Gosh, I mean,
of
course.
Who were some of your best battles with?
Of course, Heather Fuhrer.
I was going to say,
Bowden,
Heather. Yes, other Canadians, yes.
Natasha Badman.
Yeah.
They were, there were some battles there, but they weren't battles in the sense of animosity.
No,
anyway.
No.
They were just people I raced. Michaela Jones, although she's the cream of the crop, I still say she's just the best triathlete ever. The fact that she could...
From sprint to Ironman, she could do it all.
Every distance. And now that she's doing races...
Para.
Paralympics, I salute that. I really wish I could do that. She's amazing. But the competitors in my day, I loved them, and yet I loved beating them. We had the best of both worlds, that we had friendships. And they're still there. I saw Lori Bowden after several years of not seeing her, and we just couldn't stop talking.
So you guys could be competitive and still be friends, because really it's you against you on race day. The other person's there, and obviously you want to beat them, but they don't really control your destiny.
No.
Right? You control your destiny.
Absolutely. We did have long-term relationships, there's no question, and wanted the best for each other, and we're happy for each other when the best came to be.
Right.
So it was neat. I was lucky to race, I think, when I did.
Yeah, it was a great era. So on Monday, what do you have a specific time, or you just like, listen, I enjoy every second. Let's go by Wellesley. Let's go just enjoy the Newton Hills. We enjoy every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what to expect. As you know, I had Achilles surgery in 2015.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I'm back running naturally. But,
Will this be your first marathon since
yes.
the surgery?
Ah. First marathon since the surgery. So in that sense, I don't know what to expect. I didn't get in as many long runs as I would have liked. That's probably the missing link from the Achilles.
You'll do a long run on Monday.
I'm going to do
workout.
A really
What's
long
a big deal?
Run on Monday. I think I want to break 3 hours.
Nice.
I'd love to be in around 250, but I have no reason to think I will be 250 because my training has not told me I would be in the 250s. But I also know that when a gun goes off, that there's a very different part of me that comes alive.
Yes.
And it will come alive on race day, and I will draw all the energy from the people on the course as well as from the athletes I coach. You know, I really coach some wonderful people, and they've wished me so many good blessings. And I will draw their energy because it's good for me to feel the pain that the athletes I coach feel, because
exactly.
It makes me a better coach.
So with cystic fibrosis, how has the research changed? How has the treatment changed? Is it better now than it was when you were 20 years old?
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. It's so much better. The median age of survival in the 60s was 5 years old. The median age of survival probably 10 years ago was 32 years old.
Wow.
And the median survival age now is probably close to 50. And it's a miracle. There's two new drugs that are out that can treat different genetic factors
uh-huh.
involved. None of them treat myself, but there's...
But it's coming.
It's coming. And there's better preventative treatments. And that's the wonderful thing, if there can be something wonderful about cystic fibrosis, is when I'm coughing up blood, they're not saying, oh my God, what's wrong with you? They know what's wrong. They treat it immediately. It's not like somebody who has something wrong and 6 months later they find out they have cancer. I have a condition, and they immediately know what they need to do so they can act on it, so
yes.
I don't get the damage that other people get.
While they're trying to hunt and figure out what it is.
Exactly. So my lung damage is so minimal at this stage. And,
that's great.
And so I'm so lucky, and other people with CF are so lucky. So there's so many preventative things that are out there, and so yeah, it's good. I'm not worried as I turn 50 in a couple of years. I'm not worried that that my life's gonna end.
When
my
I'm,
life's just gonna
I'm,
keep going.
I'm sure there was a point when you start looking at those numbers where you're going, I better enjoy every minute because I don't know.
Right? Yeah, you never know.
But none of us do.
No, you never know. And I know just from the time that I had the lung function go down so drastically that when you don't stay on top of it, that's the sort of thing that happens.
Sure.
And my doctors don't ever let that happen. As soon as, you know, last year my lung function dropped to about 70%, they were immediately talking about intravenous. They weren't going to let it get down to 50. And when I had the collapsed lung, they weren't going to let it sit there. They said, you're healthy enough, we can do this procedure. It'll be hard on you, but we're going to do it. And so I went in and had the procedure done. So they, you know, they don't wait around and say, oh, let's see if you can cough it out. No way. They gave me a couple of days to cough it out. It didn't work. I was in the hospital getting it taken care of.
Love it. Hey, Lise, thank you. What I love is the fact that you've never hidden, right? You're dealing with something. And it's important for people to know that a world-class athlete, for somebody sitting at home who's struggling with cystic fibrosis, to know that you were at the top of the totem pole, that you won 11 titles dealing with that disease, that goes so far for people getting through just their day-to-day, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about overcoming adversity.
Right.
And being the best you can be with your deck of cards. And just saying, hey, you know, like, it's just be you.
Right.
Be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Be the best you can be. Take care of yourself. It doesn't mean walk around and get sick and,
right,
and woe is me. You just got to, like, do what you can. So, you know, on Monday, if my lung function's 75%, I'm going to run the best that I can. And that might be 302. And if my lung function's 100%, then maybe I'm going to run 240. You know, like, I don't know. But, you know, I'm going to use every breath that I have.
I love it. Lisa Bentley has been our guest. Thanks, Lisa. Always, always a pleasure. All right, again, this is Postcards from the Finish Line, and we are brought to you by Highlands. Stop your cramp, not your race. Also brought to you by Polar. Chase your destiny. Hold on, everybody. We will be right back.